Greetings, members, visitors, and friends. Welcome to And the Church Said, a podcast where we discuss issues and insights on how the body and the members can interact in ways that promote spiritual, mental, emotional, and relational well-being. I am Dr. Monique Smith-Gadson, your host for this podcast. I am a licensed clinician. However, this podcast is not intended to serve as therapy. We encourage you to engage in your own personal counseling. So come on in and take a seat on any pew that you choose. We hope your time here will leave you declaring a hearty and resounding amen. So hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. So today I am back to delve a little bit more deeply into Mark, the 10th chapter, the 21st through the 22nd verses. Last week, I had sensed the Holy Spirit asking me to pivot to honor Earth Day, and that's what I did. So today I'm back to look at some of the relational implications of this passage surrounding the rich young ruler. So you can go back and check out episode, I think it's 119, if you want to hear the beginning of what has kind of become this series for this particular passage. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we will do some focused type of episodes on mental health, since we will be, May will be Mental Health Awareness Month. So of course it's my focus like all of the time, right? But I am hoping to have some interviews with some individuals surrounding mental health. And that's what we are planning for the month of May, but we will see. We always stay open because never know how the Lord is directing and guiding us otherwise. But suffice it for today, we're back with Mark the 10, the 21st and 22nd verse. And I'm going to read those again to you so we can just kind of bring us back to where we have been focusing and studying. So Mark 10, verses 21 through 22 reads, "Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.' But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions." So if you remember this episode, episode 119, I think it was published on Palm Sunday. I think that was the same Sunday. And I mentioned that I have been kind of meditating and writing on this passage for quite some time. And I also mentioned how convinced I am that these verses have held so many insights into some of the relational and emotional, mental and spiritual issues that we currently face. So I've already talked about giving some overview on the spiritual implications. I focused on the mental implications and emotional. And so today I'm going to focus in on the relational insights that I have derived from this particular passage, just what seems to emerge to me from the passage. So a couple of things we want to take into consideration here when we're looking at this through a relational lens. I see that this young man apparently had a relationship with Jesus. Now, how deep it was is, you know, I guess a little in question, but when he came to Jesus, he referred to him as the good teacher. So he knew that this is the person, Jesus is the person to ask about eternal life. He knew enough about Jesus to know first and foremost to approach him. He knew how to refer to him. And he knew what to ask of him. So there was some sense of a relationship that was established in the mind or in the life of this rich young ruler as it related to Jesus. The next relational insight I want to point out here is that, again, Jesus looked at him and loved him with this agape love. He told him, okay, this is what you must do. He said, "You have performed well." Well, these are kind of like my words, right? But you have kept the commandments, and that's what Jesus said. You have kept these commandments. Now, Jesus called him to this relationship that he has with himself, meaning Jesus called the young rich ruler with a relationship with himself, like the rich young ruler and the relationship he has with his own self, not with Jesus, but with his own self. Jesus is calling him to this relationship with him. Because he says, if you really want to know what to do beyond the commandment keeping, kind of beyond the performances, go sell all you have and feed the poor. And then you come and follow me. And so again, here is where I really, really want to emphasize that Jesus looked at him, loved him before he said this statement. So somewhere along the way, the rich young ruler missed that Jesus looked at him in love, even though he asked of him a very hard request. Nonetheless, this relationship is based on Jesus's love for him. Jesus loves all of us. Jesus has relationship with all of us, and whether we have relationship with him is the question. But we know Jesus has a relationship with us because he has already died once and for all of us, for all of our sins. The next point I want to make is that Jesus had moved this man from focusing on the externals, and he had to look at himself inwardly. He had to come face to face with this intrapersonal relationship with himself. Is he willing to look at himself and realize he has been great at looking the part, but maybe his heart has been far removed? And then he has to now wrestle with this relationship with his stuff, with all of his possessions, because this is where the scripture tells us that he walked away grieved and dismayed because he had many possessions. So I just want to reiterate what I stated earlier. Again, Jesus loved him dearly. Jesus looked at him. He welcomed him. He was fond of him. He loved him. And we have to establish this again as the frame of our discussion. Because I repeat, I believe that our society and our culture at large today, we think that love translates to feeling good, and anything less than us feeling good or being comfortable is not love. And that's just not true. We can be greatly loved and told some things that are very uncomfortable for us to hear, but it is out of that love. And again, I'm going to reiterate my disclaimer statement that we're not talking about abusive and toxic relationships here. We're not talking about where love is misconstrued and it is manipulated for one's benefit. That is not what we're talking about here. Not at all. Okay. Again, I say that there is a huge difference between being hurt and being uncomfortable. And we conflate those two in this day and time, but there is a distinction. There is a distinction between being uncomfortable and being abused and manipulated. So I'm not talking about that today. And also, I'm going to remind us that we have to understand that within this relationship, there is love, because anyone who enters and engages in this relationship with Jesus automatically enters into a relationship of love. Even for those who do not acknowledge Jesus or call him Savior or Lord, he loves them. This is his unconditional love for all of us. Okay, so those were just a couple of things that I just wanted to review that I have said before, and that I also extracted what I think emerges from the scripture. The young ruler had a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus, when he looked at him and he loved him, it forced the young rich ruler to have to look at this intra personal relationship, the relationship that he has with himself. And then lastly, I think that this, what emerges from this particular passage is that also the rich young ruler had to grapple with his relationship with his stuff. That's what caused him to walk away being dismayed and grieved because he had many possessions. So apparently there was a relationship with this stuff such that this made the request of Jesus all the more difficult for him. So I think that the three kind of main relational focal points I want us to just walk with today thinking about is that Jesus and this rich young ruler, there was a relationship there. This man knew Jesus. And of course, Jesus knew the man. The man knew what to do to please Jesus. However, when Jesus told him the requirements of following him, that's where a crisis of his faith took place. He had to ask himself the question, what is he going to do now? Because he was the one that pursued Jesus. He was the one that had run up to Jesus. He was the one that had fell at Jesus' feet and saying, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So this relationship that's full of love, Jesus' love for this man, love was present, although there was a great sacrifice that was to be asked of the ruler. The second relational focal point from this passage, the young ruler had to look at himself. Again, that intrapersonal relationship. We have to do the same thing. We have to take long, hard look at ourselves when things are brought to us, either by Jesus or others on his behalf. Again, we have to remind ourselves, if this relationship is established in love, what do I do with this hard stuff that is being said to me or asked of me? It requires a long, hard look at ourselves. Like, who am I? And am I really who I say I am? Like, am I really a follower of Jesus? So now I'm being kind of called to the rug on this, if you will. Like, okay, if you really follow Jesus, then, you know, sell your possessions and give it to the poor and then follow him. And if I am a follower of Jesus, and if this is who I say I am, then why am I having such a hard time with what he has said to me, what he has asked of me? Which takes me to our final relational focal point from this passage. What's your relationship with the stuff in your life? Is it your pride, your possessions, your power, your privilege? What keeps you from saying, wow, like this is really hard to hear, and it is also true? What keeps you from receiving the difficult things you hear in love? Why do you walk away dismayed and grieved? Is it because you realize that the things spoken are true? Or because you do not want to part with what is being brought to your attention, what is being asked of you to give up? Do you just not want to? If you don't have people who are willing to say hard things to you, then I wonder, do you have anybody in your life, like at all, that truly loves you? Or have those people like walked away themselves kind of grieved and dismayed? Have they come to realize they always have to walk on eggshells around you? Like they can't give you any kind of constructive criticism. They can't give you any correction. They realize that you are just refusing to take a long, hard look at yourself. And they just may be saying, you know what, I give you over to yourself, because apparently that's who you love the most. They realize you love your stuff more, maybe your power, you know, that you have in this relationship to not listen, your position, like, no, what I believe is right and can't nobody tell me differently. Your possessions, like, nope, I'm keeping this. I don't care what you say. You know, it can look so many different ways. But if you don't have a person in your life who's willing to say hard things to you, they have walked away from you in grief and in dismay, then I think you need to ask yourself why. Sometimes it is easy for us to scapegoat the other and just to say it's because, you know, they are like that. But if we are not willing to take that long, hard look at ourselves, then maybe it's not them. Maybe it's easier to project the blame on them, but maybe it's not them. I think we should consider it a blessing when we have someone who is willing to say hard things to us. I remember people in my life who have said some hard things to me, whether it was as simple as, you know, check your nose, check your teeth, check your breath, check yourself. I mean, it wasn't comfortable. At times, it's downright embarrassing. But the times that I realized I've been in the presence of people who didn't tell me to check my nose or check my teeth or check my breath or check myself, or like, hey, there's something on your clothes, or did you hear how you sounded? I began to question, like, why didn't you say anything to me? If you're supposed to be like my friend, or you're supposed to love me, like, why did you not say something to me? Why did you leave me there looking like or sounding like an idiot? And so it wasn't until I was left in the position where I'm looking at myself and say, oh my God, why didn't somebody tell me this? Especially when there were not attempts to have spoken something to me previously. Like, why didn't you say anything to me? Especially if we're supposed to be friends. So it is a blessing when people love us enough that they are willing to say the hard things to us. And that's a loving relationship. Within a loving relationship, it might require us hearing some hard things that are being said to us. And we have to be willing to engage in introspection and allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate things within us. Because are we so attached to performances and images that we are not able to walk away from those things when we are asked to? Remember, this is again in the context of a loving relationship. And so finally, I hope we can put to bed this rhetoric that Jesus won't ask us to do things that are hard because he loves us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm sorry, but it is. Because it is his love for us. As paradoxical as it sounds, it is his love for us that he will ask of us to do the hard things. He will ask you to make a huge sacrifice. He will ask you to leave the job without having another one lined up. He will ask you to move elsewhere and you don't know where you are going. He will ask you to leave your job and take care of the kids. He will ask you to start the business. He will ask you to go to school and go down a totally different career path. Jesus has done this. He's asked this of people before. This is uncomfortable. This may not be what I wanted to do at this point of my life or to do at all. And so we need to put this unsound rhetoric out to the pasture. It's not true. Jesus can look at you. Jesus can love you. And Jesus can still ask you to do some hard things. And so will you do as he asks and will you follow him? Our relationship with Jesus is full of love, the love he has for us. And is also full of hard asks. Our relationship with ourselves can be just as complex if we don't self-examine our emotional responses to the hard stuff that we are asked. And finally, we have to look at our relationship with our idols, our places of pride or fear even that keeps us from following Jesus. So these are some of the relational insights and implications that were illuminated to me that emerged from this particular passage. You have heard my call. Considering how love looks at us, love can ask us to make some difficult sacrifices. Love can cause us to feel dismayed or grieved. And love can still be a part of that relationship. What will be your response? And the church said.